even celebrate the communion, which is very important. Not just that we do, but why do we celebrate the communion? Why don't we, for an example, have foot washing? Why don't we have other rituals that some churches do have and some denominations have? And why do we do this? Well, we do this, as we saw this morning, by His command, do this in remembrance of Me. So this is a remembrance, and this is what we're in the midst of studying, since it is the whole foundation of why we are taking this day, this morning and this evening, to celebrate the Eucharist. And we've been dealing with some passages dealing with remembering. And we saw this morning that there are causes of remembering. For an example, two that were very obvious in our studies was the this communion service. This is designed as a memorial, designed to cause us to remember. We saw in Peter the teaching and the exhortation, even of truth that you know, is designed to stir your memory. And the stirring of the memory is for the purpose of function and action in the Christian life. And in that passage in Timothy that we looked at this morning, it said, remember. And understanding, we want to understand. So in understanding, the next thing he said was, remember Jesus Christ, and crucified and resurrected. And it's so important that if we could just, the simplicity, how simple it is to see, to allow the Holy Spirit to open and illuminate so many truths in Scripture if we stay at that point. And when we have questions and decisions that we need to make in our life, in marriages and in single life and in so many areas of life, go back to that aspect of the Christ crucified, Christ resurrected. It unveils so many truths. And so let's begin tonight with singing 448, very beautiful hymn in this respect of worship. So let's involve ourselves in this area. First of all, ascension time and prayer. Make all of this, you can pray. I don't mind praying while I'm back down to music. It's very good. It relieves distraction. So spend some time in prayer, and that the time that we spend together is spiritually benefiting, as we spent some time this morning on how the flesh can do everything that we're talking about. The flesh can remember, and the flesh can even remember things in Scripture, because there are many unbelievers, not even saved, who know many, many Scriptures. So knowing doctrine isn't the secret. Remembering these things are not the secret. It's the one that brings about these memories, and that is the Spirit. That's why we looked at the passage this morning. This is one of the reasons Christ sent the Holy Spirit, is to remind us of things. This is a work of the Holy Spirit. And so that all of these things have a spiritual benefit when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And even before then, as we are being transformed into the very image of Christ now, this is part of the work of the Holy Spirit when we're walking in the Spirit. So let's spend a few moments in prayer to make our time valuable. Let's pray. What a privilege it is, Father, to assemble tonight for this sacred event upon which we have gathered this evening. To spend time, Heavenly Father, in fellowship with one another, in fellowship with Christ at the communion table. What a privilege it is, Heavenly Father, that these things can be brought to our mind and have a spiritual impact. They can stir inside of us. They stir. This memory stirs in us this life of faith. This is how we entered. This is how we live, simply by trusting. How appreciative we are for this communion service, Father. We pray that this evening will be honorable to your Son and a sweet fragrance to you. In His name, amen. All right, let's sing Because He Lives, all three verses. Let's stand and sing together. of that verse. And dear David Smith and Stephanie, let me hold their baby just very minutes after the baby was born, the first one that I've held that young. And it is quite an experience. And I can just imagine all parents, but David and Steph, to know that this child will accept Christ as Savior. No matter what happens in the child's life, though David and Steph may even be gone, not that they're going anywhere, but that was, what an assurance that must be. Let's sing How Great Thou Art. Let's sing the first, third, and fourth. First, third, and fourth. I'd like to remind you, don't have to remind you of this evening's service. You're already here. You're not here, can't remind you. Tuesday night we have a missionary coming in that's going to Russia with the Russian Village Mission, and here with his presentation. So please, if you can, be here Tuesday night for a missionary report. I'd like for us to stay in that area in the missions. And so please bear that in mind. on Tuesday evening. So please bear that in mind. The Word of God declares, whatsoever man purchase in his soul to give, so let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity. Let's take the offering this evening. We took it this morning, but just to put all the facets of worship together that we are in the understanding that is for us in the church, let's spend that time in the offertory, remembering that we're not blaspheming God as though we're going to get something back from God, or we're going to, if we give sacrificially in some way or give some amount, that's going to impress. No, we give responding to who and what He is. A lot of different views in regard to the offertory. It has changed from the biblical, just as the celebration of the Lord's table has changed. So has offerings. With the incorporation of the church in American, under the American corporation idea, the whole concept of giving has changed, and that's unfortunate from that which we find in the Bible. The early church, in the early way in which it was done, it makes it so clear as far as giving and the response of giving. But let's spend a few moments in prayer. Father, what a privilege it is to live in a country where we have this freedom, the freedom, Heavenly Father, to do with our lives and fields of work as we feel and sense the leading of the Spirit to guide us in these areas, to allow you, Heavenly Father, to deal with our lives in the area of prosperity and testing and suffering and all these things, Father, that this society lends itself so readily with that freedom. The freedom then, Heavenly Father, once we do take the paycheck to do with it as we see fit according to our relationship with you. The freedom to do with our money. The freedom, Heavenly Father, to spend it how we see fit to our own value system. And we cross that freedom, which allows its citizens that value system privilege, and it is in the spiritual realm of freedom that our value system is given to us. We value our political economic freedom because in it, Heavenly Father, we can so easily function in our spiritual freedom. And we pray now, Father, that you will receive the offerings and that you'll use them to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen. We are bound in privilege to sing all four verses. It is well with my soul. Let's stand and sing. First Corinthians 11:24 says, do this in remembrance of me. In fact, that will be repeated. And we're in the midst of looking at the whole concept of why. Because upon these words lie, again, the whole foundation of what we're doing tonight. This is not said, even of water baptism, which a lot of churches, and you and I have gone through the scriptures on those things, have no problem. I'm just saying it is, with this one, there is no doubt. And it is upon these words that we are to do this in remembrance of me. So what we're looking at right now, and finish up tonight as part of our study in dealing with the communion, is this whole concept of remembering, because that's the whole foundation. And again, that will help us understand when we get there in church history, transubstantiation, what this is about. This is not, we're not redoing anything. This is to remember. And when Christ said, took the bread and broke it, this is my body, and yet his body was sitting right there. He didn't use a future tense. He didn't say, this will be my body. This is my body. So we know what he's talking about. This is a symbol. And so we're looking at what happens, though, when I remember. What is the Holy Spirit doing when he stirs inside of us this memory as we sit now for this memorial? Some memorials you go and you look at, and if you have an appreciation of the memorial, then things happen. It stirs things inside of you. That's why I like that Greek word that Peter used in this function of remembering, the stirring that goes on. And so we spent some time. We looked, one, we simply dealt with the definition of the word. Point two, we dealt with the concept. Not only does it mean to remember, but it means to remember in such a way as to spawn some action. This is not just a auld lang syne. This is not just a memory. This is a memory that it's a stir action, and it's a stir the action of faith, as we saw in some passages this morning. Thirdly, we noted that how even the unbeliever, or the carnal believer, can remember. The question arises, what causes us to remember? Because in the flesh, we can remember. You could sit here tonight and even partake of the elements, though I warn you not to do that out of fellowship, because there is definitely a discipline related to it. God takes this very seriously, what we're doing. But you could do that, and you could bring in the mind. You could even think in the mind of the crucifixion and of different things that went on. I've read books by men in seminary, men who were not even believers, and they wrote on the crucifixion. And so you can do that with your mental abilities. And so remembering then falls into that same category with so many other Christian functions. Obedience. What obedience is God looking for? It's obedience of faith. Singing, praying, on and on and on. But even the mental work of remembering can be done by the flesh. So the great issue becomes the Holy Spirit. And that was point four. The cause of remembering in the spiritual realm is the second advocate. And we looked at John 14:26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring into remembrance. This is what the Holy Spirit's designed to do. He does this when we're carnal, by the convicting ministry of the Spirit. He brings this into memory. He also does this when we're walking in faith. He brings these things into memory. Then point five, the Holy Spirit uses the communion service. This took us to several passages that we studied. The Holy Spirit uses a lot of circumstances. This is a service that is a memorial. Doctrine. He uses doctrine. He uses scripture to also bring us into that memorial, into that remembering. And as we saw, it's designed this morning, and Peter, it's designed to stir us up, to stir up our alertness, to continue to walk by faith, our alertness not to go back to the flesh. This is why the Holy Spirit will constantly do these things. Then point six, the cause, means of remembering, could be a memorial, doctrine, these type of things, whatever the Holy Spirit desires to use in this respect. This took us to 2 Timothy and some time we spent, and that's where we close. Bring us to point seven, and I just wanted to hit this because it becomes an issue with our Savior. He says, do this in remembrance of me, to stir up that in us. Remembering is vital in the recovery from sins. In recovery from sins and recovery from the power of sins. It's one of the functions of God the Holy Spirit. Those of you that have gone with me through the journey of 1 John chapters 1 and 2, we're in chapter 2 now. No, there are a lot of things that are going on in recovery from sin. The only one that is of great issue is our faith. The moment you exercise faith in the Holy Spirit, God delivers. But there are a lot of things that go on. The convicting ministry of the Spirit, repentance, acknowledgement, first of all, that you take that responsibility. That should lead to a repentance. And that repentance always summons us to faith. And it's the faith that God is looking for. But just to put in another area of all of this, because it will come up very strongly at the end of chapter 11, where we're going to have a dissertation on partaking of the Eucharist when you are not empowered by the Spirit. But look with me at Revelation 2. Just very quickly, let's look and see how this word again arises in the words of our Lord and what's going on with them. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. And specifically, as we go through this, we're going to look in verse 2, I, Jesus Christ, the head of the church, know your deeds, your toil, your perseverance, and you cannot endure evil men, and you put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be false, and you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake, and have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have left your first love, that is Jesus Christ. Therefore, verse 5, remember. the first step. This is the first step in this process. Remembering that, people, what I'm showing you here is that in the celebration of the Eucharist, this is the first step. When you and I get through with the bread and the juice, it's not over. This is the first step of a process. We're remembering. And what the Holy Spirit's desire, what Christ's desire is in the celebration of the Eucharist, is that this has an impact in our life. That this alerts us that we walk by faith. This alerts us to the foundation of all of our thinking. So the whole thing is going to start in verse 5 with the word remember. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, and repent. And where have we fallen? We've fallen from walking in faith as believers. Here you're walking in faith, and here this is our faith life, faith and trusting the Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden you've fallen from that. You've stopped. You have stopped walking by faith. Remember. And then he says, and repent. Always there. Always is the concept of repentance. And do the deeds you did at first. And what are the deeds at first? The deeds at first are faith. We walked in faith. We trusted God. The two commandments of God, faith and love. Those are the two works that are looked for. Or else I'm coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. And repent always summons to faith. But what's the first step? The first step is to remember. So remember, and if I start remembering where I was, that's where I was, and then this is going to lead to a repentance, and the repentance then is going to lead to faith, going back to trusting and walking by that same faith. Look at Revelation 3. This is our Lord speaking over and over and over. This is the seven churches, and in five of them he's talking about recovery from sin. And gaining their momentum. So it becomes some great issues of what we're going to find. We don't find confession because that isn't the problem in these cases. We don't find the sorrow that we're studying in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians. But we do always find the concept of repenting. And we find this word, again, used by our Lord. In chapter 3, look at verse 3. He says, well, verse 2, wake up. Wake up. Now, what's going to wake us up? Strengthen the things that remain which were about to die, for I have not found your deeds completed in the sight of my God. I've not found them completed. Wake up. You have some things left. A lot of things are gone at this church, and we'd have to study it. But you do have some things left. Take the inventory of what you have left and get going. And this becomes vital. Now, verse 3. Remember. Read the same word that we've been studying this morning at the communion table. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. This is wrong. If you have the New American Standard, this is wrong. And I like the New American Standard, but they're totally wrong here. And what's interesting is, so is the NIV. What's interesting is, here the thundering diction of the King James is absolutely correct. So if you have the King James, it's correctly translated. And the King James says, remember how. It's not what, but remember how. And that's the correct Greek word. I'm still puzzled and trying to figure out what the NASB and the NIV and some of the other translations were thinking about when they changed from that. It may not have made sense to them, but it sure made sense to our Lord. He says, remember how you have received and heard. Not once, but how. This distinction is very important. If you are in sin as a believer and you desire to come out from under sin, so here you are as a believer, you've already gone through salvation one, and you're over here, and you are in sin, you're under the power, of sin, and therefore in darkness, what is going to be the work of the Holy Spirit? It's going to cause us to remember. I want to come out from underneath this power. How do I come out from underneath the power of this aggressive power called sin? I want to come out. Okay, you want to? Remember how you did it at salvation one. And do it. That's all he says. Remember what you did here to get out from underneath the penalty of sin? Yeah, I trusted. It was faith. Go back and do that again. This is all that he's saying at this point. So look at our passage. He says, and keep it. This means to keep doing it, the reproduction of faith from our study in Abraham. And repent. If therefore you will not wake up, I will come like a thief. This is the same thing, by the way, that's remembering John is doing in 1 John 1:2. We won't turn there because we're getting ready to study it. But he says the same thing because he said Jesus Christ is our propitiation, but not only ours, that's born-again believers, but the whole world. That's us as unbelievers. Now, how, is our word, how did I appropriate the propitiatory work when I was part of the world, an unbeliever? I did it by faith. How am I going to do it as ours? By faith. That's what John is saying. John is not a mechanical writer. That's as close as he will come to this whole issue. That brings us to point 8. You know, I got it in my notes. Let me just change my notes without going through what I did, the mental gymnastics here. Point 8, I want to look at not remembering. We've been studying remembering and what the communion service is about, remembering. I want to take a look at not remembering in Scripture, especially in our passage. Not remembering. In the Christ-like life, in the Spirit-filled life, there are things, people, we are to remember. And there are things we are not to remember. And this becomes very important. There are things that we are not to remember. There is a great danger, / damage, in your life in not remembering what you and I should remember. But there is a great danger in remembering things that you should not. This whole process of remembering, the whole foundation of why we're here celebrating the Lord's table, is in this concept of remembering. And there are things that you and I can remember that will damage your life, and you have no right to do so. And you will not do so in the spiritual life. They're just not to be remembered. A multitude of believers, they remember past sins. And what I mean by past sins, sins that have been taken care of even by the person in the regard to responsibility, repentance, and repair, and repair is the repair of faith. But that isn't going to work for them. No, the work of Christ on the cross isn't enough. They've got to constantly remember the past sins. And what that will do, it pulls them down. Constantly pulling them down. I'm not worthy. This is why this is happening to me. And when we say those kinds of things, people, all we're doing is say the cross really isn't working. And faith really isn't working. Christ really didn't die on the cross for those sins, and my faith really doesn't take care of it. God's holding them against me. And this is Operation Job, by the way. This is Operation Job. But this is what people fall into, because we remember our past sins. And oftentimes, other people won't let you forget them, but we remember them and they pull us down. Or they get into remembering the sins of others, and that disrupts, 1 John chapter 1, fellowship with one another. If you're going about remembering another person's past sins and bringing them up, talking about them, using them, it's going to break that fellowship that we are to have in regard with each other, and often results in judgment. So there are things that we are not to remember as Christians. There are things that we absolutely must remember. But we are not to remember past sins so as to dwell on them, be pulled down by them, be broken in fellowship with them. One scripture, one passage that is blatant is Philippians. Look at Philippians with me, chapter 3. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. More than that, I count. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of just knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ, and may be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, which is what a lot of Christians try to gain their righteousness, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. In case you missed it, he repeated it. Verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. In order that, here's the purpose, that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, not that I have already attained it, or I have already become perfect, but I press on in order that I may lay down, that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but the thing I do, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. This is what we are to do. We are to forget those things that lie behind. I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude, and if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by the same standard to which we have attained, and that, if we study the text, is we've attained to it by walking in that faith. Now, we are not to remember past sins. We're not to remember past failures. But there's also very close to this, kind of like the other side of the coin of this, there's also a great danger of forgetting things that we should not forget. There are things that we should not forget that often people forget, especially when they have to make some decisions in life. Look at 2 Peter with me. We looked at 2 Peter this morning, as I told you. Peter has the word remembering and all these things throughout. This is important to him, having sat with the Lord and listened to the Lord's teaching. So it becomes important to him to remember things in the power of the Spirit, and we saw that by his faith this morning. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. For by these he has granted to us, we're starting in verse 4, I'm sorry, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. For by these things he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now, for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith. Everything is going to start with faith. And then he goes through moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, prayer. All of these are the works of the Holy Spirit. All of these are the fruit of the Spirit, the work of the Spirit. Verse 7, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. Then he says in verse 8, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just having the understanding isn't going to work. Just love is what's going to empower. Then we come to verse 9. He who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted. Why? Why are you blind or short-sighted? Having forgotten his purification from his former sins. They're taken care of. It's a great danger. The great danger with a believer who remembers what he shouldn't remember, he remembers his past sins, which he shouldn't, and he's forgotten in regard to those past sins, the work of Christ on the cross, that he ought to remember. This we ought to remember. It's very difficult. It's very difficult when you're in the power of sin and you come out and you look back and people won't let you forget to forget this. And this is what we are not to forget, and this is part of what we're doing here at the communion table, not forgetting these things. Therefore, the final point, and that is, okay, what are we to remember tonight? In closing, what are we to remember? This becomes the great issue. What are the things that we are to remember? We saw this morning in 2 Timothy chapter 2:8, and it was very clearly laid out for us. What do we want to remember tonight? This do in remembrance of me. Eating, remembrance of me. Drinking, remembrance of me. What do we want to remember that is going to stir our alertness to walk by faith and to be transformed into the image of Christ? What we want to remember is Jesus Christ. We saw this in Timothy and many other passages. Jesus Christ crucified for my sins and resurrected from the dead for my glory. And all of this is mine simply by trusting Him. He has made all of this possible. And this whole process here is the grace of God. It's the love of God. And this is what we are not to forget. This is what we are to remember here in this study. These are the things we are to remember. Now, this Sunday in December, we spent some time under remembering, and we spent our time there in the Old Testament. And you'll recall that the Passover, what? Why did they keep doing the Passover? What were they remembering with the Passover? And we saw this very vividly in Hebrews chapter 10. It was a reminder of sins. It was a reminder of their sins. That's what the Passover did. It was a reminder. It was designed for that. Hebrews chapter 10, 1 through 3. What's the communion? The communion, or the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper that we're now engaging in. What is this to? This is telling us this has been paid for. This is already taken care of. This is talking about reconciliation. This is talking about forgiveness. It has already been paid. So we could just put the word sins, we put the word payment. See, this is my body. This is my body which is for you, broken for you, for your benefit. Paid. The sin problem is now paid. You and I no longer remember the sins. This is why the communion is not the Passover. It's not instinctive. This is reminds of sins. What's the communion table to do? To remind me of the payment. This was done for me. His body was broken for me. Jesus Christ crucified. Jesus Christ resurrected. The communion, eat. What is the communion service? We eat in remembrance of Him. I'll put the word remember here. In remembrance of Him. What does this do? This brings about comfort. We studied all of this. This brings comfort. We saw this in Jeremiah. The bread. The eating of the bread. The breaking and eating of the bread is designed to bring comfort. So there should be comfort in your soul tonight. There's no comfort in, O wretched man that I am, Paul says in Romans 7. There's no comfort in that, and we all know that we are. Even though I'm saved, I know that the old wretched man is there. O wretched man that I am, and things that I might do. But His comfort, He has paid it all for me. And then He's going to say, we'll study this probably in February, the next verse, drink. The drinking, do what? In remembrance of me. Repeat the same thing. What's that designed to do? This is designed to bring encouragement. So what is going to happen tonight with you and I as we partake of this, if this memory is stirred up inside of us by the power of the Spirit? One thing that's going to bring great comfort in my life, great comfort tonight. A lot of, in a group this size of people with discomfort in your soul, turmoil in your life in one way or another. And if not right now, it will be. What this does brings great comfort in our relationship with the Lord. This is what the remembering will do, is comfort here. This is what we do once a month. No matter what's going through your life, it's I can look at my life and it's not this, it's not that, it's not this. It's not the way I thought things would turn out. And all these types of things that people have to go through. Here's the comfort. We come to the cross, we partake of the bread, and there's comfort. We take of the cup, and there's encouragement. This remembering stirs up an encouragement. Stirs up an encouragement. Let me close with one more point. Remember me. I don't have to remember West Tuttle. West Tuttle's sitting here. We see each other. Doesn't have to be a memory. Why did you say remember me? Because people, he's gone. He's gone. Our Savior came to planet Earth and he departed. He left Earth. He's gone. This is why we remember. He's not on Earth. Jesus Christ in his resurrected body is sitting at the third heaven at the right hand of God. So we're going to remember him. You remember people and they're gone. If you're in newly in love, all they do is go to the next room, and you remember them. But as you get a little more into it, they have to at least leave the house. And then these things continue on. But not here. He's gone. This is why we remember him. Now, he departed earth and left us, but you know that doesn't bring us sorrow. That brings us happiness. And as Christ himself says in John 14, we should rejoice over this. You know why? Because until he departs, he can't send us another helper. He can't send us the Holy Spirit. You get a place in the understanding of the Holy Spirit when you understand it in the concepts and terms of Christ. He could not give us the Holy Spirit until he departed. And now that we have the Holy Spirit, which, you know, this is going to sound to some so wrong, but we should be so happy we have the Holy Spirit. People, if Jesus Christ were here, we all couldn't be with him. All of the body of Christ, I don't think all the body of Christ would even want to. But let's just say all the body of Christ at once, we couldn't be with him. We go to a big banquet hall, and somebody's got to sit at the table by the men's restroom. I'm sorry. We all don't get to sit at the number one table. We've got to sit other places. I can't be with him. We all can't be with him. If he goes there, we all can't just follow him there. And if he moves and goes somewhere else, we can't all follow him there. So he departed, and he gave to us the Holy Spirit, and this all of us can have. And it is by this Spirit that we can all have fellowship with him, personal, intimate, direct fellowship with him. So we rejoice that he has departed from earth, because he gave us the Holy Spirit, plus the fact, right now, he's doing some wonderful things for us. He's preparing our eternal estate. He is also our defense attorney when Satan accuses. He is doing a lot of wonderful things for us at this very point. So, he is gone, he has departed, but we don't want to forget. We don't want to forget the love that as God, he became man, and as man, he died on the cross for me. He took a body and it was broken for me. We don't want to forget that work and that person. And as we have, and I'll put the word on the board, because it is a biblical word, as we have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, this leads us to fellowship with Jesus Christ. But that's not the end result. This leads to fellowship with God the Father. So a lot of things are going to go on in your soul tonight in remembering Jesus Christ, remembering all the things that he is and what the work of Christ on the cross has accomplished. What it accomplished for me as an unbeliever is the cross. What it accomplished for me as an unbeliever, what the work of the cross accomplishes for me as a believer. When I'm in sin, blessings, everything, whole relationship with God, all of these things are sparked and alerted, and they alert to us to how do I keep gaining access to this person? How do I keep gaining access to his work, present work, past work at the cross, the same way I did as an unbeliever? It alerts me to continue to walk by faith, trusting him. Have that fellowship with him. I feel so sorry for so many Christians. They don't have an intimate relationship with the person of Jesus Christ. They've got it with their work. They've got it with their rituals. They've got it with a lot of stuff. But they don't have it with him. Some people even have it with cerebral, doctrinal relationship, but this isn't him. They've got to have a personal relationship with him. And this is what so few Christians really experience, that they don't know how to walk a fellowship in the Holy Spirit. And this is why he sent. He's departed. He sent us an advocate. His very purpose is to bring us into fellowship with Jesus Christ. So this is why we're celebrating. We're celebrating so that we will remember. All right, gentlemen that are going to serve the elements. As we're going to see, I keep reading it, but I want to cover the scriptural things, but we will get to church history if the rapture doesn't occur. But the communion service has taken on many forms, and you know it. Many denominations, religions, movements have done all kinds of things that aren't really biblical. and each one has each assembly has its own traditions and customs and these things related to it. No dogmas related to that, but just the customs and the traditions and the manner of doing it. And it is our custom that everyone will be served the bread, and that you hold the bread until everyone serves, so that we can have fellowship together in the partaking of it. And remember what this is about. We do this often, and sometimes you lose. I don't want you to. I don't know all of you, and I don't know what's important to you. But if you can imagine standing before some memorial that's important to you, maybe even a memorial in a grave of somebody that's important to you, and you stand there, and it brings you. This is what this would do. This would allow the Holy Spirit to stir up memories about Him. And then that should bring about the alertness and action in our lives. So we'll just ask you, and if you are here, I think most of you here tonight, and I know partaking of this out of the power of the Spirit is just very dangerous. We can sit in Bible class and fake it, being in the Spirit. We can give and fake it. We can sing and fake it. We can pray and fake it. By faking, I mean not being in the power of the Spirit. We're doing this in the flesh. Not really any warnings there other than you lost the rewards, which to me is powerful enough. But not here. Not here. This comes with a warning. Don't do this without testing yourself that you're in faith, that you're testing the Holy Spirit to empower you and have this as spiritual reality in yourself. Father, we thank you so much for this memorial. It's not a grave. It's not a mark on a grave. It's a supper. How apropos, a supper, fellowship, communion, enjoyment of each other. It's a communion to sponsor memories. The memory is to sponsor alertness and action in our life. We praise you, Heavenly Father, in your Son's name. Amen. Given thanks, he broke it and said, "Do this in remembrance of me." It is our custom that you hold the cup until all have been served, that we might celebrate together. the same manner, he took the cup after supper also, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant of my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And they left the upper room, and singing, let's open up to Isaac Watts' great hymn, 111, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Sing all verses. Father, thank you so much for this memorial supper. And now, Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll sanctify the food that we're about to partake for our body, that it will be nourishing to our body as this supper has been nourishing to our spirit. We praise you for this fellowship in Christ and with each other. In Christ's name, amen.